is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive. And I've got my sweet wife by my side.
Hello,
because we're
Thrive family.
Oh, yes. Because we're trying to peel back the layers of what does real love look like? And when a marriage is healthy and you're like, I think I want what they have. How did they get there?
Yeah.
And don't make a mistake. It's rarely one thing that did it one thing that's still doing it. But when you can get a hold of and wrap your arms around all that God's word says about love, and we'll never do it perfectly, but here's a key word, intentional. Mm-hmm. You're intentionally leaning into components of love that are beyond eros. Our world just goes after eros, sexual, longing, desire. Whoo, I feel this. The Bible talks about eros. God thought of it. God gave it to us. It's not bad. It's good. But it was never designed to stand alone. We've got people trying to make eros stand alone on its own. And it does not stay alive that way. Because God gave us storge, just family love, philia, friendship, brotherly love, and agape. So we're going to talk some more today about philia, this friendship love. Here's the definition of the Greek word philia again. It is a brotherly friendship and affection. Now, I hope you're not saying, but this is a marriage podcast. I don't care about brotherly. This is my wife. This is my husband. You should care. Right at the heart of a marriage should be a friendship that is kept alive by understanding what friends do, how friends think, how friends lean in. It's the love of deep friendship and partnership. So what do you think, Vicky? What is going on in our marriage today regarding friendship, partnership, that was not going on 38 years ago?
Well, I think one thing is we've actually tried to find ways to connect. And I think, like we've said earlier in other shows, it's not one bad moment in particular, but thousands of little choices that we were making daily or weekly that either put a strain on our relationships or have a value add. It's, when we choose our phone over trying to connect with our spouse, or we choose extra work over trying to connect with our spouse, or we choose even doing a chore or staying busy over trying to connect with our spouse, or I really like this one. It's when we choose, I'd just rather be silent than trying to connect with our spouse.
And that, I'm going to stereotype a little bit here, but that often is the guy more than the woman. So guys, I got to tell you, one of the most loving things you can bring to your marriage is a willingness to talk and listen when you feel tired and talked out. Yeah. Often when we're most tired, the last thing we want to do is talk. And it's just not loving. It's not loving. I just regularly think to myself, this is how I can love her. This is how I can love her. It doesn't matter how many meetings I had, how hard I went all day long, how tapped out I feel when I am willing to talk and use words. She wants words. Then she feels loved. And as I listen, and then instead of changing the subject or just taking my eyes back to my book or what I was doing, I ask a question that draws her out, that actually indicates, tell me more.
And he's really good at this. And he's gotten even better.
Good.
Because relationships do take time and attention. Yeah. And once again, if you're listening to this thinking, well, I don't have time for that. Well, that's probably what's wrong with your marriage. I mean, really. And once again, we're not saying
it'd be like saying, I don't have time to have a marriage that would thrive.
Right.
Because
that's probably what you have, a marriage that isn't thriving.
You're going to have to make, as Vicky said, I had to make time for this. I had to literally reorder and cut some things out of my life. That was my choice. No matter how busy a guy or a woman thinks they are, there are areas that you have more control over than you're admitting.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go and look at ways I could cut. I don't have to do that.
And once again, don't hear what not. We're not saying like Brad sits and talks to me for 2 or 3 hours a day. I don't really want that either, to be honest.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Funny story is, you know, sometimes if you're not careful, you can think there would be no end to my spouse talking. I know sometimes you can have a talking guy. There'd be no end if I allowed it. And I'll never forget my last sabbatical. Our church gives us a sabbatical after every 7 full-time years. And it's 12 weeks. And like 3 or 4 weeks into my sabbatical, I was like, I looked at her and I'm like, are we okay? And she's like, yeah, why? Because for me, she's like my hummingbird. She's just like,
I have lots of words.
And my hummingbird was not humming. And usually that means I'm in trouble. If she's not talking, I'm in trouble. And so my lead in is, which let me help you here even, the best way to go at this is not, what's wrong with you? So I'm saying, hey, are we okay? And she said, yeah, why? And I'm like, you're just not talking. And I'll never forget, she's like, honey, you're here with me all day, 24/7. Every day, day and night, 24/7. I don't have anything else to say to you.
Even at times, the hummingbird has to land. I mean, yeah.
Even the hummingbird has to collect your thoughts. And I was like, wow, okay, great. As long as I know that we're okay, I can go back to my book. So, but it's a willingness in normal life. That doesn't happen. Yeah. I get up earlier than her. Usually I've left for work. And we don't even touch base. I might make a phone call in the morning.
9:30.
But, you know, when I get home, she wants to connect. She wants to talk. And it doesn't have to be anything earth-shattering. I think what I was guilty of in the early years of our marriage is I always thought, unless this is a big problem that needs to be solved,
why are
we talking about this? Why are you bringing me this? And I didn't, and that hurt her. Did that hurt you?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Because like, he doesn't want to get to know me.
These things are trivial. Why are we talking about what you found at the store? Why are we talking about the 3 different things you did research line online and you decided this brand? She's talking about it because I'm her husband and she wants to connect with me. And we should have a partnership, friendship that I should care about what she's been thinking.
And I mean, I'll just throw in here. Usually now that all our kids are out of the house, we'll sit down and eat dinner together. And that usually, then after that, we go our separate ways.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's important. And once again, you know, we don't have a TV upstairs, which is kind of good. But I just think that's a great way to connect. You know,
yeah.
I'm not saying everyone has to do it that way, but usually by then, I'm good. He's good. We move on.
You know,
reads,
you know, unless I have late
laundry,
meetings,
right?
She'll wait to eat with me.
Mm-hmm.
And when we eat, we're not each scrolling through our phone while we chew, and yet
Never.
We happen to be sitting at the same table. The TV is not on. I'm not saying it's a sin. We don't have a Bible verse for this, but we're suggesting to you, if marriage is comprised of philia, a friendship, a shared thought, shared life,
you have to connect.
You're going to have
point.
To connect and have some space where you allow for it. And if it's new to you and you don't hardly know what to say to each other, you say, well, that would be awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my favorite response. Just keep doing it till it's not awkward.
Right.
It's sad that that became awkward for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Don't settle in and thinking, well, that's just awkward, so it's out of bounds.
Yeah.
Renew that. Like,
and
eat together a meal without your phones and without the TV on.
When you have all your children at home, it I'll be honest, it's harder. I mean,
it
is. And we've talked about that earlier in the show, you know, but it's got to happen at some point. But I think we've got to stay connected and think, what is my spouse into? What's a part of their day that I can be a part of?
Yeah. And it makes me think, Vicki, we've used it multiple times in our shows, but it's worth noting again right here. Philippians chapter 2. And I hope you hear this. Every verse that could help you in your marriage does not have to have the word marriage in it.
Yeah.
In fact, there's tons of great help that doesn't have the word marriage. This one doesn't. But listen to this. It actually says in Philippians 2, beginning in verse 2. Now, I know Paul's writing the church at Philippi, but the principle applies to marriage. He says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. It doesn't mean you have to think just like they think and agree on everything. And if
right.
I love coffee, she has to love
That's
coffee.
Not gonna happen.
What it means is you care about what is on their mind. You care about what is important to them. And you choose to love what they love for their sake.
To some degree, enter into their world.
Yeah. So what would that look like? Vicki, what are some ways that you think we have done this?
Well, I think, like, so I'm not a coffee person. Brad loves coffee, and that's a new development.
Yeah,
so
I only started drinking coffee when I was 50.
Yeah,
so I'm only 12 years into the coffee journey.
And the reason is he went with me in Georgia when we were visiting my parents.
Yes.
I would go get a cold pop every day with crushed ice, and he would join me because he was on vacation. And
so
he
my
said, I'm gonna
coffee,
try coffee
love began by practicing what we're talking about. Right. I just got in the car with her and went to a convenience store. I have no desire to be there.
He's never liked coffee.
But I'm there for her. I'm like, I'll ride with you. As she gets her Diet Mountain Dew with Pebble Ice and a huge Styrofoam
so
cup.
Good.
But yeah, it was right there one summer when
right,
I went with her
Georgia.
Every day. I went like 7 days in a row. And I just noticed all these little coffee spigots that said Sumatra and this, that, and the other. And actually was all horrible. It all tastes the same. But I would get a little cup and then I thought to myself, what would good coffee possibly taste like?
Uh-huh.
And so when I got home, I reached out to coffee people in my church and said, help me.
There's a lot of them.
Help me. What should I actually do? All right, we're talking about friendship as a part of a big part of what would take your marriage from barely alive to thrive. Don't jump in and think, what would spice up our sex life? Don't think, oh, what about having another baby? Think, oh, do we actually have a friendship anymore? Have we ever had a friendship? And friendship is based on shared loves and partnership team. We're going to take a break and we'll come back and talk some more about how Vicki and I have intentionally done this.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicki in just a moment. You know, I love how every week Brad and Vicki are reminding us that marriage, it's not something that's built in a day. It's really something that involves those small daily choices that we make. Listening to your spouse when you're tired, when it would just be easier to check out. Because those things create a bond and a friendship between you and your spouse that lasts. Same principle applies when it comes to your spiritual growth as well. Just small little daily choices. That's exactly why we created Fortis Plus. Fortis Plus is our app, and it is a library basically filled with teaching that helps you grow. I'm talking stuff on marriage, parenting, discipleship, all the confusion in our culture. You're going to find solid answers and new content added every single day. There's already hundreds of hours of content available right now, and we're still continuously and steadily adding to it every single day. Here's the best part. It's free. All of it, absolutely free. Not just a portion of it, not a free tier and a paid tier. You're never going to run into a paywall. It is completely free now, the entire thing, and completely free forever. Why is it free? Well, the only way Fortis Plus can be free is because of our gospel partners. These are people who have said, hey, look, I don't want just this truth for me. I want to reach people I might not ever even meet. So if you've ever been helped by the teaching you hear on Thrive, on Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, or Integrate It with Dr. John Kratz, maybe Libby Glosson's The Better Way, anything that you might run into on Fortis Plus, if it's helped you grow, would you consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? It's one of the most powerful ways that you can pay it forward. Because you're not just helping keep a program on the air. What you're doing is you're equipping families. You're helping marriages thrive. You're helping young men and women around the world with resources they might not otherwise have access to. But only if you're already giving to your local church. Because that's priority number one, right? But if that is taken care of in your life and you're giving faithfully there and you still have a margin where you might be able to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be honored if you would start praying about what that would look like in your life to do so. You can find out more information right now at fortisinstitute.org. All right, let's get back now to Brad and Vicki. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Digney.
All right, we've been talking about friendship at the heart of love. That means there's a partnership. There's shared interests. You care about what they care about. Even if before you got married, you would have said, I don't care about that at all. And so we've got to start talking or keep talking about coffee because I have not said everything I'd love to say about
There's
that.
There's so much to
say.
Oh,
so as I, but here, it really is a good example. She does not care about coffee, but she knows
Can't
I
stand
do.
It.
So I want to tell you two of my greatest coffee moments were the result of my sweet wife caring enough about coffee because I care. And so she was actually looking out for me. If we went on and read the rest of that Philippians passage, it actually says, let each of you look out not for his own interests, but the interests of others. She knew I have a coffee interest. I kid you not. Two things that
obsession,
she's done.
Obsession, perhaps.
Maybe obsession. I mean, I went from sad coffee pot, and then I learned quickly, well, the problem is you've got a coffee pot, and those are so sad, made in China. So I went from that to some kind of coffee pot made in the Netherlands that's supposed to be the best, and it still was just like, okay.
Those Europeans know how to make then coffee.
Then I went pour over. Then I went AeroPress. And then we were on a plane. I was sitting next to a guy. His job is to go to coffee plantations in other countries and, you know, make partnerships and contacts and buy beans. And, oh, we're talking coffee. And he's like, I'm telling him I use an AeroPress. And he's like, ooh, you got to do a tricholate. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. He explains to me the tricholate process, and I'm salivating. My heart's beating faster. My sweet wife, two seats away. I'm seated next to him, and she's to my left. She's listening. You know what she did? She ordered that thing for me. She got online, found
one. Had to find one. They're kind of hard to find.
Ordered it. It came to the house 2 days later. That's what we're talking about. I love this woman.
She got me a tricholate. Is so dedicated to coffee. So in our kitchen, which isn't that large, we've designated a coffee station.
It's a dedicated coffee station.
I don't
station.
Even go over there. I don't do anything over there. It's got his Loud Ninja. It has his coffee. And then it has like
it's
shelves.
Got filters. It's got yes. canisters of beans. It's got
stuff to
different
clean,
kinds
coffee
of coffee
machine.
Cups.
It has the coffee grinder.
Ooh. Yeah. It
so
just makes me
you
happy.
You open the doors
that.
And there's just, once again, the
all things coffee.
Right. There's these canisters that you can see through. They all have coffee beans from various Missouri places. What are some of your favorites?
Right now, I'm working on Guatemala Geisha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bought 5 pounds of that. Oh, it is good. But hey, there's another massive way that she loved me. With a friendship, shared interest, love, she introduced me to the Japanese iced coffee.
I love to do research.
Oh, dear me.
So I did
research. Don't know. You know, the summer, it's hot. I don't want to actually drink hot coffee in the hot weather. But if you just drop ice cubes in your coffee, that's pretty sad. She got online, and she found this little video of a guy doing Japanese iced coffee.
It's pretty fascinating.
She sends it to me. It is not hard. It is not hard. Whoo! Game changer. It is some of the best tasting coffee I've ever
had. Because don't you pour your coffee into the ice?
Well, all it is that if you were using 12 ounces of water, which is what I use, only use 6 ounces of boiled water and then do 6 little ice cubes, about a little ice tray, because
right.
that's the equivalent about of 6 ounces. So you've got 6 ice cubes in your cup already
frozen.
As you put your AeroPress or your tricholate or your pour over on top. So then 6 ounces of boiling water trickles through your ground beans down into the ice. You can hear
you
it crackle.
You are learning so much on this
show. You just hear it crackle, and I'm telling you what, it is indicating to you it's like music. It's like a symphony.
Okay, we need
there
to move
There is
on.
Some of the best tasting coffee coming
as
that
you
you've
can
ever
see,
had.
He's really, the man is really into
Ooh, you
coffee.
Know what? This all of a sudden, this went from Thrive to a coffee podcast. Not supposed to be that, so I'm going to rein it in.
Yes, but I just think it's an interesting. I mean, I so wish I was into coffee because whatever Brad does, he does 100%.
Amen.
If he's into golf, he's into it 100%. If he's into coffee, it's 100%. And I always think.
And if he's into you,
yeah,
he's into you
100%.
That's so sweet. That's good, isn't it?
That is good. It's good for me. But I do think just that's part of friendship is you. I mean, often I just try to think, what could I do to make his day? What could I do that would just make him so happy?
And since we talked about what you've done for me, let me give some examples. Here's what changed, you guys, especially if you're a guy listening. God broke my heart and got a hold of me with 1 Peter 3, where it says, live with your wife in an understanding way. That doesn't just mean be nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a word that meant go to school on your wife. Learn her.
Yeah, he's really good
Learn
about this.
Her. And I started watching and learning what does she really care about and love. And so similarly, in the early days when we had young kids, I knew she loves a bubble bath. She loves a hot bath. And so I'd say, hey, you go take a bubble bath. I'll clean up the kitchen with the kids. I'll start that whole bedtime routine.
Wonderful.
I knew there's nothing. And sometimes I would combine it with, go take a bubble bath, call your sister.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's nothing she'd rather than be on the phone with Nancy. So that's learning her. I know she loves pajamas. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
and so
I really do. That's just, my obsession.
There's no end to the number of pajamas. So I know one of the best things that I could do is when she comes home and says, oh my goodness, look at these pajamas I found. Don't say, really? Mm-hmm. Don't you have enough pajamas? Just smile.
You cannot have enough pajamas.
It'd be like me with another coffee device or another bag of beans. She doesn't say to me, really? I'm like, oh, girl, you cannot
have. They
have
to be soft. They have to be.
You cannot have enough pajamas.
They have to be cute.
Tell me about those.
Yeah, they have to be
because there's
soft,
summer pajamas, there's winter
right.
pajamas, there's kind of mid-season pajamas.
That's right.
There's certain tops,
long
certain
pants,
bottoms.
Short sleeves, short pants.
So
shorts.
I am now into pajamas because she's into pajamas.
I've got a great collection.
I know that she loves fresh produce, fresh anything. And so an apple orchard,
local
a pumpkin
produce.
Farm, a country road.
Picking cherries, like that's just the ultimate.
So when we had an opportunity to go, where did we go and actually see all those?
I think it was Montana.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in Montana when I was teaching. Mm-hmm. There were little signs about these cherry
about
places. I would never have gone to one of those cherry places. I
would
have gone to a coffee shop and sat by the lake.
Yes.
But we went and sought out cherry orchards in Montana.
Beautiful.
For my sweet wife, and it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we got out of the car, and we actually picked cherries.
Oh, before that, we talked to the people.
Yeah,
it's a family-run cherry farm.
So, like, for instance, on our way back from Georgia, seeing her family, saw a big billboard, talked about an international market. Guess what? That international market was 45 minutes to an hour off the interstate.
It's actually a really cool
and
place.
And early in our marriage, I would have thought, no way. This is a 10 to 12-hour trip already. We're not doing that. I actually said, hey, would you like to run over there and see it? Oh, my goodness. Uh-huh. She was just beyond happy.
It was fascinating.
It was amazing. And here's what's so cool. Sometimes you'll like it. I liked
it.
I mean, it was it because guess what happened? There was actually a stall.
Can you imagine?
With Ethiopians who had Ethiopian coffee. And I bought a bag of Edido. I-D-I-D-O. It's one of my favorite coffees. It has a blueberry hint.
Back to the coffee.
But wait, I just brought it back to coffee. Shouldn't be doing that. So we were there at the international market for her. And what it really means is when you say, take as long as you want. And she's just wandering the aisles of an internet. Here's the other thing I know about her. Cash. There is nothing makes her happier than me saying, hey,
give me
here's
two
20s. I think that's weird. I'm just like, I have no cash. I have credit cards. I have Venmo.
Sometimes
there's just something there
cash.
That I mean she is so excited about. And I think some of it goes with the produce.
Right.
She knows
true.
Often when you find that little market
that's
on the side,
they
take only
take
cards. Cash.
Right.
So I know nothing makes her happier than saying, here's two 20s. Just keep those in your
purse.
Please
say that more to me. I like that. Yes.
And the last things that come to mind, there's more, but I know how much she loves her siblings, her brother, her sister. I intentionally will sometimes say at dinner, I don't know if you've noticed this, hey, how's Nancy? What's going on? Have you heard from Nancy? Mm-hmm. How's David doing?
Yeah.
I invite her to talk to me about her brother and sister because I know that makes her really happy.
And because he's drugged me very far from both of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so, up here in the Great North.
This is just the tip of the iceberg of me leaning in and thinking, what does she care about?
And he does it really well.
And guess what happens? It builds a friendship.
Makes me love him
more. It builds a friendship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other thoughts on that? That at the heart of marriage is actually friendship, a shared interest, a partnership.
Yeah, I just think it's just pretty important. And I think that's really something we didn't even start to develop until later. And once again, I know it's hard when you have kids, but still do it on some level, like you said, with the bubble bath. Or I remember one time occasionally that we would do this once a year. I would just go to some hotel and lay in bed and eat snacks and drink my favorite beverage, have, you know, little.
Because we had five kids. So once a year, I would pick a weekend that I wasn't traveling. I wasn't teaching. I didn't have a funeral. I didn't have a wedding.
Right.
I would say, this is your weekend to go to a hotel.
And I would leave Friday, like after lunch, and come home Saturday night. And it was just like I was a new woman.
If you can imagine as a young mom, just to have that much. Do whatever you want. She would take some novels.
It was so much fun.
Well, we're talking about friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope this is part of your marriage. But if it's not, oh, please lean in. I think too often we jump to something that seems more flashy and big
very
deal.
True.
Great marriages are comprised of doing a lot of little ordinary things.
Pajamas,
coffee. Pajamas,
cash.
Fresh produce, cash.
Give me cash.
Yeah. But after a while, suddenly you realize, I think we're actually friends.
We're thriving.
And guess what? That leads to being great, great lovers. Oh, I hope God is helping you get from survive to thrive, and that you're getting a hold of. It's a lot of things that our world does not talk about, but our God in His Word does.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.